much for coming tonight. I was kind of wondering how many people would show up, and I brought two friends just to make sure there was someone in the audience. So it's really my pleasure to be here today. I'm with Prevention Institute, and today in our brief time together, I might actually take the whole 15 minutes to talk. So I want to just share the framework of our approach in addressing eating and activity type issues, as well as share with you some of the learnings from the different projects we're working on, and then also identify some strategies that you may be interested if you're working on these issues, as well as some potential actions that you might want to take after this session. So the work at Prevention Institute, if you're not familiar, is really focused on primary prevention, and we were really committed to making sure that we engage the community, and that we're looking at it from a social justice perspective, as well as making sure a lot of our work is focused on health disparities, so making sure there's equitable health outcomes for everyone. And when I say primary prevention, I'm really talking about a systematic approach to promote healthy behaviors and environments, and addressing these issues before they actually occur, so really trying to think upstream when trying to think about obesity, diabetes, those types of different illnesses. And prevention really is just, it goes beyond just giving people information. It's a really, can serve as a way to change norms. And in the case of poor eating and physical activity, we're learning that norms in the environment are really playing a critical role in shaping people's behaviors, which ultimately affect their health outcomes. So this is my son Ezekiel, and as someone working in public health and someone that's cares a lot about her child's health, I really find it difficult as a parent once I leave the house and finding him something healthy to eat. We're in Detroit at a museum, and he was very hungry, and the only thing I had was I could buy him hot dogs or chips. You know, I didn't let him eat this whole thing. We kind of shared it among three of us, but I think this just kind of goes to show you we're living in a culture where it's about fast food, it's about supersizing, the bigger the better, and really we need to start changing the norm, the thinking around this, if we're really going to start addressing this issue. And unfortunately, sometimes, the healthy choice is not the easy choice, but for some, it's the only choice. So we really need to start thinking about how we can address that. Just another example, you know, we're told to exercise 30 minutes or more a day, but this woman here, even if she did want to, you know, take a walk around the street, it's not very safe. And so is it just individual choice? Is it just a matter of lifestyle? You know, in this, we know that there's more to it. Norms and environments really are powerful. And the Institute of Medicine concluded that it's unreasonable to expect that people will change their behavior easily when so many forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment conspire against such change. And the environment, like we've been saying, really shapes your behavior that shape health. And if we want to make a health impact, we really need to start shifting that environment to promote healthy behaviors. And unfortunately, when thinking about health outcomes of a population, low-income communities and communities of color suffer from the same illnesses and injuries, but only more so. So at Prevention Institute, what we're really trying to do in order to address the different diseases such as obesity, diabetes, we're really trying to build a movement to get people to eat better and to be active, but not individual behaviors, really changing the environments that people work, live, play, learn. And so while there are policies underway, we really need, strategies people are implementing, if we're going to reach an adequate scale of changing behaviors and reducing chronic illnesses, we really need to start being more strategic, more systematic, and coordinated in the approaches that we're going to take. So we're working on a few different projects, and these are just a few. We have our ANAC tool. A lot of the stuff that we're doing at Prevention Institute is trying to provide resources for those working in the field. So we have the Environmental Nutrition and Community activity community tool, which provides a menu of options of what types of strategies you might want to do in school or healthcare or in the neighborhoods. We also have the NAC local policy database, which is a companion tool that actually gives you model language and people to talk to that have been successful in implementing that. We lead a coalition, a statewide coalition that has gathered advocates to advocate for changes in California. And then one project that I'm leading is called the Healthy Eating, Active Living Convergence Partnership, and helping them, it's comprised of six major funders, and helping them think of what is their policy agenda, what is their strategy agenda to achieve a vision of convergence. And so one of the things, we've been talking to hundreds of people working in the field across the country, and one of the things that keeps coming up is the need to not just only collaborate internally, but start breaking out of our own kind of comfort level and working within our own field, but start collaborating with people outside. For example, if we talk about built environment, it's, you know, working with the transportation folks. It's even thinking about people that are working with food systems and how that can be integrated into the built environment, thinking about where, you know, grocery stores are placed. So it's starting to go beyond just the public health field. So that's one thing that we're thinking about, how we can do that effectively. We have just one tool I'd like to share with you. It's on our website. It's a tool that kind of helps you think about, from the different fields, how you can really add value to your collaborative. The other thing that we're doing as we're analyzing the different strategies and policies out there to address healthy eating and active living is also thinking about what are the trends in terms of how the different fields, what are their interests, and how do those interests converge? And this is just kind of an example. Like, we've been looking at built environment strategies, and so thinking about the darker boxes are kind of where people have very high level interests. They even have policy agendas. They have people advocating, you know, at the Capitol for certain changes. And then the medium kind of colored is they're working on some of those issues, but that might not be the main focus, but there's opportunities to collaborate. And then the lighter shade is people that really aren't working on these issues yet, but there might be some potential to start engaging them. And so that's kind of another step in thinking about how to analyze and be more strategic about what you want to be focusing on. Also, once you've identified some policies, is also thinking about what criteria you want to, in terms of choosing your policies, considered if they have potential for significant impact, are they politically feasible, and also what are the right elements in place to make it successful, to make sure. A lot of times we talk to folks and they're saying, we have a policy, but we can't really implement it. So making sure the right things are in place to be able to implement it and support the sustainability. So I just want to quickly, I can't go into in-depth, there's many different strategies out there, and they, you know, depend on kind of what communities you're working on, and or if you're working on state or federal level, but I did want to share a few of the policies that are emerging as we're talking with folks. And in the spirit of convergence is really thinking about what strategies and policies really will maximize the support from different constituencies, not just public health folks, but people working in education and planning, et cetera. And then also where their interests are converging, as well as what policies also can address multiple issues. So thinking about policies that can both, you know, solve problems around eating and activity and kind of integrate that work. And just opportunities that will have a big impact, really choosing those that are going to make a larger impact or can leverage further change. So in terms of cross-cutting strategies for physical activity, there's a lot of momentum building around built environment, community design, and this is one area that I think is epitomizes the need to collaborate outside of your own field. And one popular strategy that's being implemented by many communities on the local level is Complete Streets. And does everyone know what Complete Streets is? So as you're designing roads, making sure that it accommodates all users, not just motor vehicles, but making sure it's walkable, it's bikeable, that you know, people with disabilities, children, like that everyone can use the road. Another strategy is also when general plans are being redone is making sure health considerations are put into those plans. And that's an opportunity for public health folks is to start talking to planners as people are revising plans to be at the table. I think plans, revisions of plans vary state by state, but every 10 to 15 years or smaller amendments in between those. But public health needs to really start being involved to make sure the health is also considered. And then another strategy that's coming up around schools, some of you may already know around safe routes to school and thinking about the environment around the schools, but also where schools are placed. A smaller growing movement, but it is a movement, is around school siting and making sure when schools are renovated that or rebuilt that they're located in neighborhoods that kids can easily access, they can walk or bike there, or if they're building new schools that they're not built on the fringe of the community but in neighborhoods that are easily accessible. Some examples of cross-cutting strategies for healthy eating is one from the public health community. We're hearing that there's a strong interest in healthy retail, and the definition of healthy retail, while perhaps traditionally was considered or to apply only to supermarkets, it's starting to include smaller grocery stores, the corner stores, the farmers markets. So there's two strategies that may fall under healthy retail is to expand access to supermarkets and full grocery stores. And one way you could do that is through fresh food financing initiatives, and that's providing supermarkets and grocery stores and other healthy retailers incentives so that they can operate in underserved communities. Another growing interest is working with small corner stores, helping them enhance their produce and other healthy food offerings at these establishments. And this strategy is still very much an experiment, but lots of communities are in their infancy stages, but we are seeing some successes and them trying to figure out how to make that sustainable. Just quickly, because I'm running out of time, there's also strong interest in connecting local agriculture to institutions such as hospitals, schools, even government institutions. There's a lot of momentum around the schools and the hospitals, but also another opportunity is to work within government institutions, thinking about healthy vending, thinking about preferential purchasing. So those are just a few. If you are interested, please let me know, and I can also share with you afterwards some other strategies. And just very quickly, I just wanted to give you an example of a group that has been successful in the work that they're doing. This is the Strategic Alliance out of California, and they came up with this platform called Taking Action. And one of their successes is getting the Governor Schwarzenegger to adopt a majority of the priorities that they have in their platform, and he's adopted it into his vision for a healthier California and his California obesity plan. So they were able to really mobilize, gather interest from a lot of different folks working in California, and was able to get that their work implemented at the state level. And I won't go into these opportunities just because we're running out of time, but these are some federal opportunities where public health folks can start having more of a voice. One is through Transportation Equity Act around complete streets, safe routes to school, childhood nutrition reauthorization. That's really a way to reach underserved children because the school meals programs are under that. No Child Left Behind. There's advocates working on enhancing physical activity and education, also doing some stuff around the school food. And then the Farm Bill, which normally I don't think public health folks would think about, but really there's a lot of people starting to get involved, but public health needs to have a bigger voice. And with the 2012 Farm Bill coming up, we need to start really building some momentum and having a voice at the table. And then just a few things. Textbook. We have all these tools. It's all on our website, but it's really just a resource for those of you working out in the field. Thank you.
Thank you. I really hate to be cruel.